Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Hello and welcome back to Ever Be. I've got Trey back on the podcast today for part two of our adoption story.
Part two of many parts.
Yes. And if you're listening to part two, I'm guessing you already listened to part one. If you haven't, you should pause this right here and go back and listen to part one because that'll fill you in on all the big things you need to know, basically, about how we got here.
And that we're adopting.
Surprise. And that we're adopting. Yay, surprise. Spoiler alert. That's what part one is all about. But actually, there's a lot that has changed since we recorded part one, which was back in December, and a lot has shifted. And so we thought we would record a part two just to share more of our story and what our adoption process is actually going to look like now since it has changed. So yeah. You want to quickly just...
Yeah, so we left off at part one, sharing that we, the Lord led us to adoption very beautifully, and we were very excited about it, and we had discerned that we were going to do international adoption through Colombia, where Mari's from, and that was what we had decided. That was the path that we were going down, and so we were...
And we were open to... Two babies.
Yes, we were open to two babies pair. Or a sibling pair. So it would have been like a 2 or 3 year old and, a 6 month old or 1 year old or just one, whatever they had available for us and whatever the Lord brought to us, we were open to.
But I do kind of feel like in Columbia, there's a lot of sibling pairs. I feel like we probably would have gotten that.
Who knows? Because the update to part two is that we are no longer adopting from Columbia anymore.
Yeah, so that's the update. That's the big shift. Basically, in January, President Trump placed a ban on immigration visas that pertain to 75 countries, and Colombia happened to be on that list. Basically, what it means is we can't bring a baby home from Colombia. Mm-hmm. And on the website, I looked it up when it came out and everything. They literally even had a bullet point that said, this specifically affects international adoption. Mm-hmm. And so what was crazy was that, the way it unfolded was just, really weird timing.
Yeah. It was timing that was so particular and, exact that, it had to be of the Lord.
Yeah. And that's what it feels like, honestly. So we were very excited about Colombia and... And I think that I said this in part one too, but reaching the decision of Colombia was very exciting, but also was a hard decision because I was very, very set on getting a newborn baby and Colombia was not going to provide that option. But I also had such a desire to adopt a Colombian baby since I'm 100% Colombian and I wanted the baby to maybe have a little bit of that in them to relate to their family. And so there's pros and cons for both sides. And in our discernment, we ultimately ended in Colombia and felt really strongly about that. And yet it took us a couple weeks to officially tell our agency that we were ready to sign a contract and put our first payment down and everything. And we were trying to figure out some logistical things on the side. And when all that didn't work out, we're like, okay, we're ready to move forward. So we were on the way to Micah Kim's funeral and on the way, in the car, on the way to the airport on Thursday, We emailed the agency and we're like, we're ready.
We're ready. Send us the contract. We'll sign it. Send us the payment link. We'll send the payment right now. Let's move forward.
Yeah. And then that was on Thursday. And then Friday, we're flying back and driving in the car home from the airport from this trip, and I open my phone and her email goes this is really crazy, but just yesterday when you sent the email, President Trump just placed this ban on immigration visas, Colombia applies and we can't help you with an adoption in Colombia. We're actually shutting down our entire Colombia
branch. We're shutting down our entire Colombian adoption program. Like, period.
And we're like, I'm reading this email out loud to Trey in the car.
Yeah.
And I just like am reading it a couple times, just kind of in shock and disbelief. Like, what?
Yeah, I know. I did not. Yeah, I had no idea. It was like, took me so long to process what was happening.
We were both like, how is this possible? Like, just like, what are the odds of this logistically happening? And then also, like, discernment wise, did we discern wrong? Like, were we not supposed to do this? Like, God, like, I was just very confused with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
because it did feel like we, and very intentionally discerned this, obviously. Like, we spent a lot of time in prayer and we
spent a long time coming to this decision.
Yeah.
Specifically,
and so, Colombia. Right. And so it was very jarring or confusing. And we felt like, oh my gosh, like, did we discern wrong? Like, what is happening? And honestly, it just felt like, obviously, I mean, the whole process to even get to the decision of adoption, period, and then the whole process of getting to the decision of Colombian adoption was very, like, difficult and challenging and, like, emotionally and spiritually, like, taxing on our lives. And it was, I mean, and then we felt so confident, so excited about Colombian adoption, that then it just felt like God ripped the rug out from under us.
Yeah.
And it was hard. It was like hard hearing that news.
It was hard. And we made the decision in October. And so we had already spent, I mean, at least a month really envisioning this path.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, this is what the Lord wanted. And we had a good cry about it. I will say that. Like, there was about a 24-hour period where we were very sad. And it's hard to go from, like, you envision what this family is going to be like, what this future is going to look like. The process of adopting in Colombia is also very different than U.S. adoption. And, like, the result of, like, whether the adoption is open or closed and how the baby got there and the relationship, all of that is different. And so, like, we really had an expectation of, like, what it was going to look like. And then quickly it was changed. So that was all difficult to really wrap our heads around and everything. And so we definitely had a little bit of time where we were, like, really upset about it. But at the same time, I think we honestly received just, like, so much grace coming off of this, like, amazing funeral we were at.
I mean, it was the grace of that, of truly recognizing in a profound way that our lives are not our own and we don't have control over our lives. And, like, God is ultimately the one that's in control. And we just, like, regardless of what or where he's leading us or, like, what is happening in our lives, mm-hmm. like, that we don't have, like, we have to trust him. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no better option than to just trust him. And Yeah.
And so I remember, like, I was calling my parents just, like, crying. Okay, so typical Mari and Trey, like, our coping mechanisms are very unique, and, you know, you don't have to tell us whether they're healthy or not. But basically, we're really sad, and we're like, let's throw ourselves into a new home project because that will make us feel better.
Yeah, so
literally, like, next morning, we, like, went to Home Depot and, like, bought material to do, like, wainscoting trim in our bedroom because I'd been wanting that for a while. And we're like, what better time than right now
to start a whole new home project? It's like, well, like, this is something that we have control over.
Yes.
We want to do it. It's a project that distracts us. We just, like, threw ourselves head into this.
Literally, we're like, okay, well, everything just fell through. How do you say that? Just fell through. So we're going to go make our bedroom pretty because we can control that. distract ourselves with that. But anyways, we were at Home Depot. Trey is picking out trim. And my parents called me back because I had called them earlier. And I'm telling them about this.
You're
just crying
Home
in Home Depot. Like, I don't understand what God is doing. Like, I don't understand his plan. I'm trying so hard to surrender, to follow his will. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And my dad was like, you could look at it that way, or you could look at it as, like, God has never been more clear. Like, you only have one door to walk through now. Mm-hmm. You were deciding between U.S. infant infant domestic adoption or international adoption. International adoption closed because we weren't open to adopting from anywhere else internationally except for Colombia. And now the only door that's open is U.S. infant adoption. Like, that's the door you can walk through now. Because he was like, do you still feel called to adoption? We're like, yes. Like
that was abundantly clear.
We know that that's what we are called to do. And he's like, well, then the door is wide open.
Yeah, there's only one option. Like, you don't have to, like, fear you're going to choose the wrong option. Yes. Or whatever. It's like, there's just, God's like, here you go.
And in my heart, I felt like when he said that, it's like it reminded me, because my dad, he's such a great dad. He treats me like a princess, truly. He'll do anything for me. I'm like 28 years old, and literally every single time I call him, he picks up the phone, no matter if he's an important work meeting with the CEO of whoever, he always answers my phone. He's like, hey, I'm in a meeting, really important meeting, but are you okay? Do you need anything? Like, literally without fail. And so that, just like him saying that, reminded me of just like my own daughterhood with the Lord. And just like, yeah, like God, I do trust that like God would change immigration laws so that I got the exact baby he planned for me. Like if we were going to go full send with Colombia and he was like, look, that was just a stepping stone to the end result. And I actually have a baby for you here in the U.S., newborn, honestly, quicker timeline, easier process, like, and you were going to walk through, quote unquote, like the wrong door, like he would shut down immigration laws for me. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, I felt like God's little princess and he's guiding us. And there was just like a washing over of peace. And we talked about it like that night and the next day. And we were like, yeah, we still feel really confident in this. Let's walk through this door.
Yeah. So it was Friday, get the news, Friday night, Saturday, or like Friday night, we're devastated. Mm-hmm. Saturday, we're throwing ourselves into a new home project, still super sad. And then Sunday, we're like, all right, everything's better. We're doing a U.S. adoption.
Literally. So literally Monday morning, we sent them an email.
Tuesday, signed a contract.
Yeah, got on a phone call. Submit the payment. Yeah, signed a contract, submit the payment. They literally were like, we have one more slot
open. That's true. Yeah, so that was also great timing and like so providential because she literally said like, this is such great timing. Like we have one spot left for this, like
this round or whatever.
Like this opening, they can only take so many people at a time.
They only hold so many clients. And so until like a client is like released, then they like open up for a new client. So she's like, we literally have one client spot left. We signed the contract. We got that spot. And then I think what was also providential is like when we got on a phone call with her, she told us how, so they work with like adoption agencies in a lot of different states. So we will have to fly to pick up our baby wherever it is. But what she said that I also thought was providential was that Arizona started working with them again. They like didn't have need for families outside the state for a while because the demand in-state to adopt was really big. And then it kind of dwindled and they were looking for families out of state. And she was telling us how a ton of Hispanic babies cases come from Arizona, and like within the last like week or two of them working with them again, like three cases had already been like placed within their clients. And so we were just like, wow, like who knows what God has in store for us. Like, knows? Maybe it's a American baby, maybe it's a Hispanic baby, like maybe it's literally a Colombian baby, like in the U.S. like who knows. But that was just another thing that I was like, wow, like even that door is opened, like another door's opened. So it just felt like we were where we were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the process we're in now.
Yeah. So, and like, who knows, right? Who knows why we discerned Colombian adoption to begin with? I mean, there could be a million reasons and we'll never know exactly why until
I have a couple.
We get to heaven. But like, we have some thoughts. Like, yeah, one, maybe it was like the initial, like, process to like get our hearts ready for adoption and to get us excited about it and to like help us kind of gently lead our hearts to being, you know, really open and desirous of adoption. Mm-hmm. And God was using Colombian as a way to get our hearts ready for adoption. It could also be our baby just literally wasn't conceived yet or wasn't born yet or isn't like, wouldn't have been ready. And so he needed to just like delay us for a couple months.
Cause he knows us, right? And like, Trey and I are powerhouse workhorses. Like, if the Lord says go, we go. And so maybe the Lord was like, okay, got to prep their hearts. Like, okay, hold your horses. Baby's not ready yet. Like,
yeah, so
baby still needs to cook. Like, yeah, I don't know, you know. So who knows? It could have been timing as well. And like, like you said, like, we won't know until we get to heaven. We just literally won't know the reason. But it doesn't really
matter. No, because we're where the Lord wants us. We're confident in that. And there are, you know, there are a lot of perks to adoption domestically in the United States. So some of them are, it'll be a quicker timeline than doing it international.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
It'll be a newborn baby. So we will literally get to go to the hospital and pick up a fresh little baby.
Every time you say that, I literally want to cry.
Yeah. And so like we were willing to surrender that and to like and wait a little bit longer of a timeline and to not get that newborn that's so special because we felt the Lord called us to a Colombian adoption. But then, you know, the Lord just gave us that right back. And now like we will get to like have and love this baby from day one of its life. And it, we won't have to wait as long. Like, we're already impatient and it's hard. It's so hard to wait. It's been a long wait already. And so now that's beautiful. That I won't be as long. And and yeah, we who knows what the baby the Lord has. But where are we at right now? Do you want to share that kind of where we're at right now? So now that we are officially doing the United States infant domestic adoption, we've been full swing for the past like 2 months doing that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a lot of paperwork that has to be done. The process is basically broken up into two phases. It's like phase one, a lot of the work is on you. You're completing a lot of checklist items, providing documents to your home study agency, filling out questionnaires and forms all about your life and your past and your marriage and your childhood home
and your parents and how you grew up.
Everything. Like, they need to know everything about you. And then just like some workshops and education. Like, we have to do a lot of online education about adoption, about babies. We got a CPR class done yesterday. Like, there's just like a lot of like little things like that that have to be done. So the first part is a lot on us to try and get that all done. Basically, it'll basically take as long as you take. So like, you could have it all take a year if you go really slow. We're trying to go as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to like cram it all in and get that all done as fast as possible. Once all that stuff on your part is done, you turn that into your home study agency, and the home study agency reviews all of that, and they schedule some home visits first, actually. They schedule some home visits first. So they come visit your house, and from what we were told, it's three visits in our home, 1 week apart. So for 3 weeks, you have someone coming over, and they want to interview you, learn about your life, learn about your marriage. They basically ask you everything that you like filled out in those forms, but more in like in depth and in greater conversation. And then after that's done, then they review everything you've turned in, everything they gathered from your home study. And then that's basically when we just start to wait, like wait for them to review it all and ultimately approve us to be set to adopt.
Yep.
And then from there, once that's approved, we're very much just waiting on the call.
What
does the call look like?
So right now we are mostly done with all the paperwork, and we're going to be kind of on the home study provider's timeline to when they can get out to our house and schedule those home visits, and then on their timeline for how long it takes them to process all the paperwork and come to an actual like decision to review our file and to approve us. And then once we are approved, like Mari said, then we're like, quote unquote, live. And then from there, it's a total mystery. Like,
it's any day.
It could literally, like, once you're approved and live, you can start receiving cases of potential like matches. And so what that looks like is we'll receive a case from an agency.
Well, from our consultant.
Yep. And it'll just be a file like giving us some information about the child and the birth mom and whatever information that they have. We'll have a chance to review that and submit either yes or no. Do we want to present our file to the birth mom? And so if we say yes, then our file will then get presented to the birth mom along with any other families that also received that case and decided to present. So the birth mom could receive 5, 20. I don't really know
how many. I don't really know what the number is.
I don't know how many cases the birth mom receives, but then she receives all the people, and then she gets to decide who she wants to place her child into, like which family she wants to pick. So, so then like we can get start. We will start getting presented cases from. I mean, as soon as we're live, we can start receiving cases and presenting to these birth moms, and then it's just a waiting game for
if they said if yes, they or say no.
yes or not to us. And so that's why it could take literally like a few days or like a week. Like, I mean, it could be the very first baby. Like hypothetically, it could be the first baby.
Yeah, like hypothetically, like there is no timeline because it's not like you're not in a wait list in order of when you went live, and there's no priority list. Like, no family gets priority over another one because it's not about that. It's literally about what baby matches best with the family and the parents that are able to parent that baby. And it comes down to the birth mom deciding who she wants to place the baby with. And so there's just no way to figure out what the timeline looks like for that. And I know people who got matched literally weeks, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks after they went live. I actually think I found some girl on Instagram who literally got matched the next day after she went live.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the possibility is always there of it being 6 months, nine months, a year. Like, it's really, like, it's just God's timing. Like, whenever that baby that is supposed to be ours is born.
Yep. And then, so one that's crazy is because you have no idea when you'll actually match. But then once you do match, it could be a birth mom who is still pregnant and won't have the baby for a few more months. Typically, what we're told is that these moms are usually in their last trimester. So like, we're not going to be matching with somebody who is still has 9 months or 8 months of their pregnancy left.
Likely not. Yeah.
Likely not. Like, it'll either be somebody who's in their last trimester, or it's what's called a drop case. And the baby is literally already born and they are like, get on a plane today or tomorrow and come pick up the baby.
Like, it's usually like the day or like within dates of like the baby being born. And then like mom is now just now that she wants to put the baby up for adoption, or maybe she knew, but she like never got around to seeing family or whatever and is now getting around to it. And so basically, yeah, like if that's the case, they call you and they're like, mom picked you, baby's born, gotta get on a plane.
So it could be either be like, oh, you've matched, you have 2 months, here's a due date, or you've matched, you have a few weeks before the due date, or oh, you've matched, the baby's born, come pick it up.
And from what we asked, what I've seen, it's like both are just as likely, it seems like.
That's what it seems like.
So yeah, so that's kind of where we're at, and that's what's crazy about this whole thing is like there's yet more unknowns. Like we still don't know what the timeline is. Like we just know we're closer. We just know like every day we're one day closer, but literally like it could be this summer, it could be this fall, it could be this winter. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have no idea, and so we're kind of like, okay, do we like start preparing a nursery? Do we start like buying things just so that we're ready? Like in case we get a drop case and they're like, come get your baby. Like, I don't want to be scrambling like, oh my gosh, we have to go buy a car seat. Like, you know?
Right. So I think kind of what the route we're going to take, at least what we've talked about so far is once we're live, then we'll really start like preparing because it could be any week from then. So it's like, a lot of that preparation, we'll start doing that as soon as we're live.
Yeah. So that's that. We're talking baby names. We have a list.
Oh yeah.
I am pinning inspo for a nursery already. Good. So I'm already on that. Already started the registry.
Would expect nothing less.
And it's just been really beautiful. Like, pretty much tear up anytime I open up the registry because I'm like, what do you mean I get to like buy a baby carrier or like pick out cute baby clothes or like pick out a stroller? Like, I get to do that and like prepare for our baby. Like, it's just so special and we're just so grateful. Oh, and the thing about the nursery that's kind of tough though is that like I really want it to be either girly or like boy-y.
Oh yeah, but we won't know.
But we won't know.
The only way we'll know is if somehow we match with the baby and the mom decided to find out the gender and we still have like,
well, I don't know if they have an option to not, like if they're pregnant, they might
have to,
we should ask about that.
But it would have to be like we match and the mom's still pregnant. It can't be a drop case.
Right, exactly. The drop case, I mean, you'll just find out right away and then you'll know, obviously,
but you'll be also on a plane.
but you'll also be on a plane. So you won't really have time. So, I mean, and I know that in the end, like, newborn baby, like, it doesn't really need its own room yet. And so, like,
yeah,
it's just the planner in me that, like, wants to get it done and is very excited about it. But I know.
And we've been waiting so long. So you have.
I have ideas and I just want to do it. But I know that we can totally do it, like, after we get the baby. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
So those are our updates. The other update is that the adoption process and the whole thing is very expensive. And so to help kind of fundraise and help financially support us, we decided to launch a new rosary on West Coast Catholic, where it's a mission rosary. And so 50% of the proceeds from the purchases of this rosary will go towards us to help fund our adoption. So it's a small way that you can support us if you so choose to, and you can support us not just financially by purchasing the rosary and give us a little like gift there, but also more importantly, prayer. And whether you buy the rosary or not, you can pray on the rosary and pray for us adopting and all families that are going through the adoption process and the birth moms of these incredible people that are giving up their children for adoption. So you can pray the rosaries that you buy for that intention, or if you're not buying the rosary, we just ask that you continue to pray for us.
In general, just pray for us. And so this rosary, it's called the Holy Family Rosary. It's really, really beautiful. So in September, when we launched the Seven Sorrows Rosary, those Hail Mary beads were so popular. People absolutely love that rosary. But not everybody knows or prays the Seven Sorrows Rosary. So
it's like a different format of rosary.
Yeah. It's a different style of rosary. So I designed this Holy Family Rosary with those same beads, but it's a traditional rosary. So if you loved those beads, but you wanted them on a traditional rosary, this is it. The centerpiece is so beautiful. And we picked the Holy Family because they are a beautiful model of an adoptive family. So,
and they have been, you know, a big part in our entire marriage, but especially during this discernment for adoption.
Yeah. And this rosary, like Trey said, is a mission-minded rosary. So it'll first help fund our adoption. But once we are fully funded, it's going to continue being a mission-minded rosary and help other families with their adoption. So we're going to just like be keeping an eye out. If you know families, like, please let us know. And like, we want to be able to contribute to other families' adoption journeys because we know it's expensive and it takes a village. And so we just want to be able to support other families on the same journey as well. So I'll make sure to link that rosary in the show notes. You can check it out. Please spread the word. So many of you already, I've seen on Instagram, are sharing our announcement, are sharing about the rosary. We just can't thank you enough for all the support throughout all the past couple years, all your prayers, your encouraging words, your kind words, and then now spreading the news about our wonderful adoption and this beautiful rosary that can support us and our family. So I'll make sure to link that all in the show notes. And the more you can spread the word, the better. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Like I said, just thanks so much for all the love and support over the past few years of
truly
the suffering and now the joy of sharing in this news with you guys.
Yeah. And know that we'll be praying for you as well. You're definitely kept in our prayers. So thanks, guys.